The Dave McGillivray Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGillivrayFoundation.org for more information.
B-Pod Studios.
Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Here are the Bankroll Boys. Who you got?
It is Over Under 98.5, the podcast. I'm Joe Murray. Dan Lifshatz is here, and this is the NBA preview. It all starts up Tuesday night. Came a little fast, and of course there's a couple big games opening on Tuesday, and then the regular slate gets in on Wednesday and Thursday night. Last year, Dan, Toronto won it all with Kawhi Leonard. He's now with the Clippers. LeBron James gets Anthony Davis. Looks like Golden State loses Kevin Durant. They won't be as good. And Brooklyn has improved in the East. Al Horford goes to the 76ers. So a lot of movement and a lot of some surprise teams as well in the West. Maybe Denver's one of them. And, you know, possibly the Utah Jazz. A lot of people are going to like them. And then in the East, we'll see what happens. Milwaukee still in the mix as well. The Celtics, we'll see how they are when they dropped off. But would you say there's more parity this year than the norm, Dan?
Yeah, and I definitely think there's more parity this year. And that's a great thing. I think that one of the things we lost the last few years with the Warriors being so dominant is we really lost a chance for teams to actually make it anywhere. And again, that's good and bad for the league. It's good if you're a Warriors fan. It's bad if you're a fan of anything, you know, anyone else. It was also good if you were better for the past few years up until this year, when apparently the Warriors just, you know, had too many injuries and just couldn't overcome it. But, you know, it was interesting to watch the NBA player movement this offseason. It's not surprising at all to be, you know, either because of the fact that, you know, there was so many free agents, so many max guys. You know, there were a few obviously surprise trades. Obviously, you didn't expect Paul George to go anywhere, but he does. I do have to say that, you know, I think that it's ultimately going to be a very interesting year, especially in the West, because, I mean, obviously we talk about the Lakers and Clippers being, you know, the two dominant teams out there, and I think that everyone kind of expects that. But as you said, there are going to be some other teams in the mix. The Eastern Conference is certainly a two-team conference, most people think. I happen to think it's better than more than that. But, you know, obviously most people think it's a two-team conference, so we'll just kind of see what happens from there. Up, Bruins.
Oh, we got a Bruins score there off the bat, Dan?
I'm sorry?
We got a Bruins score off the bat?
Yeah, well, I put a little money on the over tonight, so Bruins up 1-0. Pasternak just scored. So just watching the game while we're doing the podcast. But, yeah, the NBA, I'm honestly very excited for it.
Me too. It's one. Now, I guess we should throw this out here. As someone who's a beginning better, like, dude, I could lose my ass off in basketball. And that NBA is different than college. Like, when you see an 18-point spread or a 23-point spread in college, you kind of sometimes have to lay that. NBA, it's weird, right? Like a 7-point spread, for example, you know, 2 3-pointers, a late 3-pointer, a backdoor 3-pointer, an and one. Like, it's – basketball betting's not easy. It's not.
It's scary. I mean, we kind of went through it in the playoffs last year with the wrangle, right? And I think the ref angle, the wrangles, what we called it. Ultimately, in my personal opinion, I think that, you know, obviously you can't really get into a wrangle, you know, the first few weeks. I think you kind of got to let it develop a little bit. That's me personally. After that, however, you know, I think that betting ref angles in the and I guess they're reviewing the Bruins goal here. This is going to be ridiculous. So we're going to see what's going on here. Stupid. I hate the NHL offside rules. I know this is an NBA podcast, but just stupid. Nonetheless, I think what we're going to see in terms of NBA betting again, last year, the first week or so of the season, overs murdered. I mean, overs crushed. It wasn't even close. Overs were dominating because of the shot clock. After that, it was unders, and we absolutely, and again, I think that you know this because I was, you know, we were kind of doing the podcast, whatever. I crushed unders. I think there was like a streak of like, I honestly don't remember. I was like 45-19 or 50-19 at some point. We were crushing unders. Now, again, regression hit just as it normally does, just as it has hit for us in the past few, you know, weeks in NFL and college, and we're still winning. But, you know, again, regression hits. That it's just not sustainable. So I think that there's going to be, you know, similar to last year, overs earlier, overs first week or so. Then after that, I think we're going to see a lot of unders. That's my personal opinion.
Thoughts on home court versus teams on the road in back-to-backs? I think those have a lot to do with betting as well. Most teams on a West Coast trip back-to-backs, you know, they struggle in that back-to-back.
Yeah, I mean, it's wow, they just canceled out the Bruins goal. Unbelievable. These rules fucking blow. My God. Yeah, so, I mean, the back-to-back thing is legit in the NBA as well. It's a serious issue. So I will say that, you know, if you're a better, back-to-back games is something you absolutely have to be aware of, especially later in the season. Early on in the season, you know, the guys are okay. You know, a lot of these guys are okay. But later on in the year, the back-to-backs is when these guys are worn down. You see a lot of, you know, players sitting, and load management is what they call it. It's just this is going to be the new NBA. So I would be very, you know, warn bettors to be cautious on back-to-back betting, especially mid-season, right before the All-Star break, a couple, you know, a week or two before that. And then, you know, really once you, you know, after the All-Star break, just significantly, I would very much warn bettors to be careful on the back-to-back, you know, especially the back-to-back away games too. You know, the back-to-back away games are travel. The back-to-back home games, you know, it's a little bit different. At least there's, you know, a lot that you don't have the travel aspect, but the minute that you have the back-to-back away, look out, because that's a problem.
All right, cool. Well, that's pretty much as you mentioned, this isn't a, you know, go heavy one game and then cash out. It's a marathon, not a sprint. I think NBA, though, is trendy. You got to look at how certain teams play in spots. I think it's actual real capping. I think the NFL this year is becoming more of a capping game and going off trends. You know, we've discussed this before, but sometimes the spread hasn't mattered, and at times this year it hasn't, unless you look at primetime games at points. But and then in college, right? Teams on back-to-back on the road, we're finding a little bit of a trend there as well. NBA, different beast. Hockey, different beast. Major League Baseball, completely different beast. But with the NBA, sometimes, like, again, just to give you an example, Raptors and Pelicans tonight. No Zion Williamson, a new team. Raptors is going to be unveiling the banner. Siakam's got a new deal. They're -7 at home. Again, this podcast will probably come out tomorrow, but I feel like 7's the right number for the Raptors for me to back. And then we talked about early in the year overs. 229 seems high for me in a Raptors game, but early in the year, I think over is the way to go. So we'll see what happens tomorrow night on that one. But that's the reasoning for me for taking at least the over in that game.
Yeah, without Kawhi, it's that team is totally different. Like, we saw that on the stretch of times.
Yeah, Danny Green's your big defender there without Kawhi.
Yeah, and I think Green is gone too. I think he's.
Oh, really?
I think he's on the Lakers now, to be honest.
Oh, you're right. You know what? And that's another thing too, right? Now we got to look at. Now we got to be accurate about rosters and stuff like that. So right off the bat, boom, Joe, idiot.
also all sorts of player movement, all sorts of player movement this offseason. So, yeah, and then that's the thing is you got to know the teams, you got to know the rosters, you got to know what you're thinking. So this is going to be a very interesting game, or very interesting year, I mean.
OG Anunoby is now the – they got Fred VanVleet and Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, I mean, and Lowry looked like he was toast so at there the we end go. Last year. So
got to get your get the facts straight there, Joe.
Yeah, exactly. So, listen, it's going to be a hard year. This is not a, well, you can expect the Warriors to be in it to win it, so you can collect your free, you know, minus 200 Warriors to, you know, make the finals. I will say this. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, LeBron James constantly made the finals in the East. I'm interested to see what happens now that, you know, LeBron is in the West, and obviously with a team that isn't all 25 years old. I'm very interested to see, you know, kind of what happens there. So I think it's going to be a very tough year to potentially cap everything in the NBA. And it could, it, you know, we'll see. The other thing you have to worry about, again, we kind of talked about this, the refs. The refs in the NBA, man, they are good. They know how to keep spreads close. So if you're looking at these, you know, big games and there's a lot of action, a lot of money, you know, be careful. You know who your refs are before you're laying the money in the NBA. That's all I'll say.
Okay. You want to get into it now or take a break? What do you want to do?
Yeah, no, let's get into it. We can, yeah, whatever you want to do. I don't care. Yeah,
screw it. Let's get into it. Eastern Conference right off the bat. Looking at some of the odds here, and I'm sure you know who the favorite is. Milwaukee Bucks plus 165 to win the East this year. Do you like that? Do you think they're the favorites? And, I mean, have they really improved from a year ago?
I think they've gotten worse. I mean, when you really break it down and you kind of, you know, you look at, you know, what they did this offseason. Yeah, they re-signed Middleton, and that's great and all. But, I mean, they lost Malcolm Brogdon. And to me, he was a key piece for, you know, kind of what they wanted to do, especially, right? Like, he was a big piece about, you know, what that team wanted to do and what that team was and how and spread out and be open to shoot a three. I mean, that was literally their game plan. So when you take away a guy, a defender, and a guy who can move the ball in Brogdon, their movement is going to be stale. And, you know, I worry about them this year. I like Giannis. I like that team. I think they're good. But I definitely don't think they're their favorite in the East. In fact, I would put them third out of all those teams, out of all the teams in the East. I would put them third. So, they would be my third. And honestly, I wouldn't even be shocked if the Pacers overtook them. I just relying on a one-man show just is really hard in today's NBA.
So just to go over the odds quickly, Milwaukee off the bat is minus 165, 76ers are plus 200. The Sixers have improved. They got Al Horford. But are they much better? That's still a question mark for me. And then the third then it's the Celtics at plus 700, which – here locally, we all think they're going to be a better team, addition by subtraction. Brad Stevens gets the team again, young players with a lot to prove, et cetera, et cetera. You mentioned the Pacers. They're plus 2,000. And then if you want to look at Brooklyn, they're 1,000. So those are the real odds. You know, obviously, the Raptors are 1,000 as well if you really want to try to back them again. But everyone else is a long shot. So you mentioned three, so you would put what? You'd go Bucks, Sixers, or you go Sixers. How would your order go?
I have the Celtics as the number one team of the East, not in terms of wins, but I think that they are built for the playoffs, and the reason I think that is because they have the depth to actually sustain this year, unlike previous years. I mean, last year, they absolutely did. But the fact was that with Kyrie, that team, unfortunately, was going nowhere. And that is extremely disappointing. You know, what he brought to the team and what you kind of expected to get with him, when they really got nothing from him, it was utterly disappointing what he, you know, kind of him leaving. And I really do believe in the addition by subtraction. I mean, everyone in that team basically didn't dislike Kyrie.
And the Celtics are a system. They're not like yeah, it sounds great. I'll get Kyrie Irving and other stars. This is a system here. This is Brad Stevens' team, you know, and that's where I think they're going to have that addition by subtraction. So at them at plus 700, it was 600 a week ago. It's at 700 now. There's value there to me. There's value there.
I mean, to me, and again, I guess we'll kind of break into it early. They're my pick to win the Eastern Conference this year. I think that they have a extremely good mix of veterans and rookies. Young players, I should say, not rookies. I think they have depth at every position. They're going to eventually need to add a forward, which I think, you know, Danny Ainge has the assets to do. But I think this team legitimately has a chance to win the East this year. Philadelphia, to me, ultimately has more skill. But they have so many injury problems. And I trusting guys, and again, I love Al Horford. I was the biggest Al Horford Bobo you could find in Boston. But trusting Al Horford and Joel Embiid and these guys to be healthy when it matters has been a problem. And I know that they were inches away from making the finals last year. And maybe things go differently, you know, if Kawhi's not there. Obviously, that shot doesn't go in. Maybe things are different. But I ultimately just have a hard time believing that they're going to stay healthy the whole year. Those guys, we have seen the constant injuries, the rash of injuries there. I don't think they're going to be able to spread the floor as well. You know, obviously without J.J. Redick, I think that they have some flaws. They don't really have a ball handler.
How about their coach?
Yeah, I don't really know what to think of the coach either. That's another thing. I don't really know what to think of the coach. I don't know if he's good. I don't know if he's bad. I don't really know what to think of the coach because from everything we've seen, I can't possibly think that he's good. You know, you look at him and you look at him how he plays or how he's coached the team this year. He didn't have that team mentally focused for most of the year. Now, when it came to the playoffs, he kept them in that series, and I thought he did a very good job there. And so you do have to give him credit for that, but the fact is that...
To me, they have no bench. They have no bench, and you still don't know about their... You know, yeah, Simmons, Richardson, Harris, Horford, and Embiid. Then what?
Well, James, I mean, and that is a problem. Again, Brett Brown's going to have to do a really good job of finding a ball handler for them. I think that is ultimately going to be their biggest issue this year. Can Brett Brown find a guy, you know, who brings the ball up the court who isn't Ben Simmons? Because Ben Simmons isn't a threat on the outside. I don't care, you know, that he made a three against China or whoever it was in the preseason. I don't care about the gym videos. Ultimately, Ben Simmons is not a threat, you know, from the outside. And that's a major issue. So, you know, until they're able to find a guy who establishes and really is a good ball handler, I have serious questions and serious doubts about that team. And we'll see what happens. Oh, the Bruins finally scored. Maybe they'll actually count it this time.
But looking around here, Brooklyn, like, do you think they're – I know no Kevin Durant this year. Kyrie's going to be over. That was a good team last year. Like them at, you know, what is it right now? Plus 1,000? Plus 1,000. I mean, they have to be. Like, for me, I have bets out there, side bets, that the Celtics are going to be better than Brooklyn this year.
Yeah, I mean, they absolutely should be better than Brooklyn this year. It shouldn't even be a question.
But see, I wonder. Like, that's the thing to me. Brooklyn had a really good thing going last year, right? A really good thing going. Now they're bringing in a guy that didn't want to play with young pieces, and they threw all their maxes at them. Whether they'll be better a team next year, which they probably will, okay, with Durant. But the more I look at that team, right, Kyrie Irving, Joe Harris, Jared Allen probably. They got DeAndre Jordan. Dinwiddie, is still there. Torian Prince has been a nice little piece. LeVert, like, whatever, say whatever, but like,
yeah, don't say Dinwiddle, by the way. I call him Dinwiddle because I think it's funny.
Dinwiddie,
and,
yeah.
Oh, my God. People get so pissed. Mad if you call him Spencer Dinwiddle. Yes, it's Dinwiddie. It's funny to call him Dinwiddle because it sounds like it should be. Anyways.
But that, like that, that's a decent little team. That's a decent team.
Dude, no, they're not decent. They're good. I mean, LeVert was legitimately a very talented player last year. Allen was, you know, a guy who could actually play defense center. They had legit. Joe Harris is one of the most underrated players
who played with LeBron in the past.
I mean, Joe Harris can shoot the hell out of the ball. Kyrie, yep. You know, so like, I mean, you know, that was a nice team last year. And we kind of seen what Kyrie can do. The first year he was in Boston, Kyrie was a facilitator, and he was incredibly talented. So I do think that he's going to help Brooklyn, you know, this year. I do think that that's going to be, you know, something that, you know, is helpful to them. I don't think that, you know, he is going to really hinder them too much. I worry about what happens next year when Durant comes back and it's Durant, Kyrie, and all those guys then get pushed to the side.
Then they all get traded.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm not sure they get traded because I'm not sure what's, you know, how much cap it is, but, you know, we're really talking about guys who, you know, at least in my opinion, are in serious trouble of, you know, losing playing time, losing stats. And, you know, we saw that with the kids last year, with the Celtics kids. You know, the minute you start losing your stats and your playing time, you know, things are not so cheery. And I really do worry about what the Nets, you know, become. But this year, I think they're better. Ultimately, I think, you know, Kyrie Irving is absolutely an upgrade on D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah.
You can, you know, you can tell me and whatever, and all the Celtics fans can argue about this, but it's the truth. He's an upgrade. He just is. So let's see what happens. I think the Nets will be relatively equal to where they were last year. I do. I think they'll be slightly better, but I don't think that they're, you know, I don't think they're going to be terrible. I don't think they're going to be as bad as people think that, you know, as people, you know, think at least around here think they're going to be because of Kyrie Irving. So,
okay. And then there's other shit teams. Let's just call them that. The Hawks are going to be bad. Hornets probably will be worse. Bulls still stink. Cavs still stink. Pistons, eh. Pacers, we already discussed. Heat,
I mean,
eh.
The Pistons already don't have Blake Griffin until
yeah,
November.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you know, and again, we talked about injuries with the Sixers. That guy is a walking injury at this point. He just can't stay healthy. And without him, that team suffers. I mean, Andre Drummond just is not going to lead you to, you know, 50 wins.
He's like
so
the Cam Newton of the NBA.
Unfortunately, I don't really feel great. I know a lot of people are very high on the Detroit Pistons to, you know, kind of still win 40, 44 games this year. I don't feel that way. I feel as if they're in some serious trouble, actually, if, you know, especially, you know, if Blake Griffin can't stay healthy. So I'm just not high on them. I do think, Joe, that there's a team we haven't talked about that we need to, and that's the Indiana Pacers, because to me, that team is the one team that you look at and say, huh, you know, what are they going to be this year? You know, what exactly is, you know, Sabonis going to be this year? What is Miles Turner going to take that next step? They added Malcolm Brogdon. They added T.J. Warren. They added T.J. McConnell. You know, they added
Sabonis to a deal. They got Jeremy Lamb. They got Holiday. T.J. McConnell is going to be another point guard for them. Like, you're right. They're built like a playoff team.
They have depth, and that's what scares me, man. The Brogdon signing to me was just absolutely massive. He fits what they want to do to a T. And if you have, you know, if you can roll out a, you know, Brogdon, Oladipo, Sabonis, Turner, Warren type lineup, listen, that might be one of the best defensive lineups.
And dude, you mentioned, I said McConnell off the bench with Jeremy Lamb. Like, say what you want about Doug McDermott, he can still shoot. TJ Leaf's a guy that could be a big man in this league. Holiday, like they have 8 to 9 guys that can play.
And Doug McDermott can come off the bench and he can shoot. You're not going to expect him anything from him defensively, but they can shoot. And they have a ton of youth. I mean, they have a lot of young kids, and if they hit on just one or two of these kids, my Atlanta, they're going to have something there. So I think that Indiana is going to be a legitimate team that can challenge for, you know, Eastern Conference this year. That's my personal.
I agree. And the only other teams we didn't talk about, Washington, I think they're going to suck so bad.
Yeah, they're garbage this year.
They're garbage. And then Orlando interests me just because they have all that talent. They're actually plus 3,300. Which just to me, like, I know they got Mo Bamba and, who's the kid from Arizona?
Gordon,
like, he's playing out of position, but he's very good. They have like an okay team. Isaacs, like, you look at what they have for a team, there's a lot of talent there. It's just, they're probably just not going to break through there in Orlando. And then the Knicks, right? What are the Knicks going to be?
Are they just going to be putrid at plus 8,000?
I mean, here's the thing. We saw the Knicks tank last year, right? Obviously, clear tanking as goes on in the NBA. Don't you feel like this is another year that they'll tank? I mean, what is the point for them not to tank? Honestly, like, what's the point? Why would they not tank? I mean, legitimately, there's some real, sorry about that. There's some real talent, you know, out there. Like James Wiseman is a legitimate talent. Like that guy is going to be good. Anthony Edwards, the kid out of Georgia, he is going to be good. Cole Anthony, like there is some actual talent. LaMelo Ball might end up being a top three pick. There's some legitimate NBA talent that is going to be at the top of that draft next year. And I just don't see why the Knicks wouldn't want to tank for it. You know, it would be silly. Now, are they going to be worse than the Wizards and the Hornets and the Cavs? I don't know. And the Grizzlies. But I think they're going to be in that mix. So they should absolutely be tanking for, you know, all these kids. I do think, Joe, that you are the one team that maybe we're kind of sleeping on a little bit, Atlanta. They really have a chance to turn it on this year. They have a lot of young kids. And at this point, I just don't know how much more, you know, their draft picks will really mean. You know, they have so many kids at this point. So many first round picks. DeAndre Hunter, Kevin Herter, you know, and I'm blanking on a million other guys on that roster too. You know, who's the I couldn't even tell you off the top of my head right now, but yeah, John Collins is the kid I'm thinking about. They just drafted Bruno Fernando. Cam Reddish, they just added, and obviously Trae Young. I mean, they added Jabari Parker and Evan Turner. You know, what can they be? Because I think that's a team that, you know, they're not going to be good. They're not going to win around the NBA, you know, in the NBA playoffs probably. But, you know, what if a couple of these kids make the jump? What if they do?
Oh, yeah, Knox, I guess, is the guy, right? I mean, you know, see what he can do at some point, right? I mean, that's probably the guy you got to look at.
Oh, I'm just talking about Atlanta. Like,
oh, Atlanta. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think that those guys, they can legitimately make a jump. I mean, again,
I watched Trae Young last year in person. He's one of the fastest players I've ever seen. He's just erratic. And maybe this second year is, you know, the next year is the year for him. But yeah, I watched that team a lot. They sucked.
I mean, they did. But remember, it's Trae Young. Now they're adding. They added Cam Reddish, who again was probably the worst.
Yeah, I actually liked Collins. I thought he was okay. They got DeAndre Hunter, right? They're gonna maybe he
for Virginia. They added Bruno Fernando, who I mean, at the beginning of the year, you and I kind of
you know,
like,
he, oh, you know he went to school, right? You know, I used to bet on them all the time, Maryland.
Yeah. And we thought he was really good at Maryland. Like we thought, wow, this kid can play. So there were some games where you looked at him and said, you know, this kid has something. Obviously, you mentioned John Collins. They bring in Evan Turner. They bring in, you know, Jabari Parker, who, again, I know is an injury risk, but again.
Yeah, but they're taking a chance on him. They're hoping he plays and can play well. You know?
Well, exactly. But, like, it feels like they have a chance. It feels like they have a chance to, you know, kind of break through there. That's my feeling.
All right, moving on. We'll do the win totals in a minute here. Western Conference, okay? The Clippers are favored to win the whole thing. And they're going to be without Paul George early on in the year. So we all know that.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it here, like just looking at it, Denver looks juicy to me, plus 800. The Rockets, plus 250. Russell Westbrook, like that's interesting. They actually have better odds than the Golden State Warriors. Excuse me, which is interesting. The Lakers are plus 275.
I mean, to me, the West is really a three-team race to win. You know, to be the top team in the conference, and then you kind of go down the list of you know your kind of second tiers. Mm-hmm. To me, it's the Lakers, it's the Clippers, it's the Rockets. Okay, those are the three best teams in the West, probably in the league. To be honest with you,
see, I don't count out Golden State, but you're right.
Well, without Klay Thompson, I mean, what are they? You know?
Yeah.
Steph Curry and Draymond Green on that level? I don't think so. I just don't think they're on the Lakers, Clippers, Rockets level. Mm-hmm. I think they're, you know, the level after that. I think they're kind of, you know, the top of that second tier with, you know, the Nuggets and the Jazz and the Blazers. And
well, the other thing, too, is we got to start talking coaching. I know people think coaching doesn't matter in the NBA, and I'll agree with you. It doesn't. But when I watch, like, a matchup that's going to happen tonight, and this is coming out the next day, but Frank Vogel or Doc Rivers? Let's just flat out say it. Doc Rivers has coached up that Clippers team to be a contender. They've used all the assets that they've had to acquire a free agent in Kawhi and go out and trade for Paul George. Like, that Chris Paul deal that they did years ago, that was a huge deal for them. So, yes, any team that has Kawhi Leonard, I'm looking at it. Them at 250, though, the Lakers, if they lose one guy, like Kuzma's already out, but if they lose LeBron or Davis for a period of time, they're not going to hit their win total, and we'll get to that in a minute here. And then I look at the Rockets. Can Harden and Westbrook play together? And listen, I'll give Daryl Morey all the credit in the world. That guy just continues to just beef that team and give it a chance, and they continue to choke. So will it work here? I'm going to say no, but anything can happen in the NBA. And I
do think there is a good chance that it could work with Houston just because of the fact that, you know, Harden and Westbrook have that prior relationship. Yeah. If these guys, you know, if Westbrook was coming in, you know, and they never played together, I would be worried. I would. But because of that prior relationship and because those guys have played together, I feel better about him going to Houston. And Westbrook is not the same player he was a few years ago. He's just not. Yep. You know, he's not the game changer. But if you're not relying on him to take over the game, I feel really good about him as a second piece in the puzzle.
He doesn't have to shoot.
Yeah, and Harden and Eric Gordon can be lights out from three. And if you let Westbrook drive to the hoop, I think he fits better than what they were doing with Chris Paul. I do. Now, is he the ideal piece to go along with Harden and Gordon? No. And some people be like, oh, why are you including Gordon? I think Gordon's severely underrated. And he's not the ideal piece to put together with them. You obviously don't want three.
Yeah, like Capella and PJ Tucker does different things. And, you know, Austin Rivers can do things off the bench. And we saw with Gary Clark, they got Tyson Chandler come off the bench. I know he's old, but Cephalosha is there to play defense. Nene is going to be there at their third big man. Like, you know, they have pieces. And they had, you know, Ben McLemore. They're trying to, you know, revive his career.
And they'll be able to probably add a piece at the deadline, or, you know, have a chance to add, you know, someone in the buyout market. Like, they will be able to, you know, add one of, you know, a big man if they want to. I think people are sleeping on how good Houston could possibly be in the regular season because, well, lose, you know, transitioning from Paul to Westbrook, I just don't think there's a big chemistry issue.
I think everyone's trying to be like, haha, it's not going to work out. And Westbrook, I'll be honest with you. I liked Chris Paul on that team, but Westbrook's an upgrade. I don't care what anybody says. Russell Westbrook, if you can add him to your team over an aging star, you're better. You're going to be a better team. The thing is they're going to be the same old Rockets who go for it every year. They had a chance to knock out the Warriors 2 years ago, and they couldn't do it.
So, they had a chance to walk out the Warriors last year.
Exactly. So, you know, is this the year? They're trying. Hey, at least they're trying. And, you know, the Clippers, again, they're the Clippers. Say what you want about it, but they're the Clippers. I know they got the Kawhi Leonard. They're still the Clippers. And the Lakers are still the Lakers and still have LeBron James. They need to be taken considered seriously. And I know we talked about the Warriors already that, you know, without Klay, that's going to be tough for them. And there's a lot of hype for Denver, right? Went far last year. They're an improved team. They've locked up the young player in Jamal Murray. Utah Jazz is going to be improved, better draft. Like, they're both at plus 800. The Mavericks, I mean, I don't really see them doing much anymore.
They have Porzingis, and you have to hope that Porzingis is healthy. And, you know, if Porzingis is healthy, man, you know, I think that does change a few things. Like, you know, if he is truly healthy, because if you put him together with Doncic and they find someone on, you know, to be the third scoring option, which is kind of where I feel like they're going to lack, right? Like, I feel like they, you know, after really Doncic and Porzingis, they really struggle with the scoring. You know, is it going to be Courtney Lee? Because if it is, I think you're in trouble. Seth Curry going to become, you know, a scorer.
I think Justin Jackson
Could be.
Tim Hardaway Jr.,
Seth Curry, he's shown, you know. But you're right. Yeah. You're right. If there could be, if you could find something between Doncic and Porzingis, like those two guys, and they do everything around those two guys, and Boban, right? I mean, they could have something there.
And again, it's not asking for something crazy, you know. You're asking for, you know, what I think is, you know, feasible. I think that they can find a guy who can provide some secondary scoring, which is what they really need. But what, you know, can Porzingis and, you know, Doncic lead this team to a playoff berth? I think that's an interesting story that, you know, we're going to see developing this year. What are the Trailblazers this year? Obviously lost in the Western Conference Finals last year. Are they going to be able to get back to where they were? The Denver Nuggets, you know, lost to the Blazers in that 7-game series. Where do they go from there? The Utah Jazz continuously change their roster every year and somehow never get any better. You know, what are they going to be this year by adding Mike Conley? The West is going to be a dogfight. Straight up, the West is going to be a dogfight. I mean, it absolutely is. It is every year, and because of that, you know, I do think that teams like the Spurs are going to struggle this year. Yeah. You know, obviously the Thunder are real young. The Thunder are real young. What do we expect from them?
No, we didn't really talk about Portland, but I think that they're always in the mix.
Well, my issue with Portland kind of comes my issue with Portland is very much similar to what it was in the playoffs last year. What are you going to do for big men outside of Whiteside?
Yeah, like they got exposed. Listen, I think Cantor was good, but he did what he could. But, yeah, Whiteside, Collins, Hood, McCollum, Lillard. You know,
and they added Paul Gasol, but, like, Gasol can't give you starting minutes anymore. Yeah. Even in the playoffs, I don't think he can give you more than
I 10. Like Gary Trent Jr. I'm not sure if he can do much. Scala Bissier is another guy, like.
They got
Nasir Little, who I loved, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I really like the additions of Bazemore, Herzogna, and I really like the you know them keeping.
I think Bazemore can help them.
What can they do at you know at the five? What can they do with the four? And you know Hassan Whiteside, how does he fit into this team? Because if Whiteside can really become, you know, if Whiteside can continue to kind of progress his game, that's great. But I am very, very worried about what Whiteside kind of, you know, how he fits that system. He doesn't stretch the floor. He doesn't do, you know, when it comes to the playoffs, I worry about what they're going to be able to do against a guy like, I don't know, you know, Jokic. Yeah. You know, that, and again, they have Nurkic, and I really like Yusuf Nurkic, but you can't rely on him to be healthy.
Phoenix, still not going to be good. Oklahoma's going to be bad. Pelicans will be interesting to watch just for what they've done. Minnesota, still no love. Memphis. So really, you're right, Dan. There's those three teams. There's the Nuggets and Jazz on the outside with Portland. And that's it. And maybe the Mavericks. That's about it.
Like your playoff spot.
Yeah, that's about it for me. So, all right, there's our brief discussion on each conference. We'll go over the win totals, maybe our MVP, who will be the championship rookies of the year as well. So it's been a little long segment here. We're both working on remote, so if there's any technical issues, we'll square it away at the end. But we can't do every show at the studio. Damn it. And we're trying, and it's raining out, so I'm sure that's messing with my my internet connection here. But anyways, first segment here, over under 985 NBA preview. Next, win totals, baby. Let's get them going. It's over under 985.
Hardcore baseball talk, inside the ropes with wrestling talk, and where you should put your money with over under 985. Listen to the podcast at 985thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifshatz, and send in your questions at over under 985.
Win totals, Dan. The Raptors are at 46.5. Will a team in the East win 50 games this year?
Yeah, I think a team definitely in the East will definitely win 50 games. I think you'll see the Sixers have a chance to win 50. I think the Bucks will probably win 50. I think both those teams are good enough and talented enough to win 50. I think the Celtics have a legitimate chance to win 50, but unfortunately, I don't think the Raptors are one of those teams. I think that their win total is slightly inflated, and unfortunately, I think that's going to set them for an underpath this year. I really struggle to see what that team is going to be without Kawhi Leonard. OG Anunoby has a chance to take the next step, and if he does, then I'll kind of eat my words. But Toronto, to me, is an under team. At least I believe so.
+115 right now for the Raptors. Another under team that I see is the New Orleans Pelicans. 39.5 is the total. I'm going under. No Zion to start the year. They're going to have a lot of growing pains. They'll be a surprise. They'll be entertaining, but I think it's going to be under 40 games for them.
Yeah, I agree. I think Zion is, and it kind of, I've always said, I've said in this podcast multiple times, I think Zion's going to be a bust. I know that everyone kind of thinks that that's ridiculous, but I think he's going to be a bust. I do. Oh, Bruins have scored. Now it's 2-1. So I do think that there is a chance that the Pelicans, if Lonzo Ball can develop into the player he was supposed to be, they'll have a chance. But I agree, Joe, to me, under 39.5 for the Pelicans. And obviously, I know you guys, the listeners, won't be able to take these because they play tonight. And apologies. Obviously, you guys can tell we're having some technical issues. But I agree. I think the Pelicans under 39.5 is definitely the play there, at least in my opinion.
Lakers are at 51.5. I want to take the under because I feel like if someone gets hurt, they won't hit that total. But I still think they're going to be a wagon. With Davis and LeBron, it's just, to me, if you can get those two players on the same court, I think they're going to be a wagon.
Yeah, I actually think, and again, I guess we'll just kind of include them in. I like the Clippers over 53 and a half better than I like the Lakers. Again, I think there's going to be a lot of load management for Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Guys realize that it's just not important to win the first seed or to be, the top team in the West, to kind of make it through. LeBron, that LeBron and that team are talented enough that they don't need that. They can do whatever they need to do. So I would absolutely agree that, it's really would be really hard for me to take the Lakers win total. I do think the Clippers have a chance to hit their win total. Again, I wouldn't bet it, but I think that there's a chance.
All right, let's just go alphabetical order right through. Atlanta Hawks. I have the total of 33.5. This is actually as of right now. 33.5, the under is +115, so Vegas might think they go over 33. I'm going to go under. I still think they stink. I know Dan liked the Hawks a little earlier.
And maybe a couple of those kids develop into something, and therefore, I would say just over. But I don't feel great about it. So
Celtics, 48.5. I locally here, dude, a lot of people love the over. I think it's dead on. I think they're either going to win 50, 49, or 48 games. So I'm going to go under because I think their defense is going to give them issues.
Yeah, I do agree. I think it's going to be, a pretty sharp number. I don't think they're necessarily as good of a regular season team as Philadelphia or Milwaukee. I still have them third in the East in the regular season. I would say over, but I think you're probably maxing out at 50 wins. Listen, Gordon Hayward, Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. I'm not sure there's a better foursome in the East, maybe Philadelphia, but I think that though, if Tatum or Brown and Hayward pop this year, it's going to be exciting to watch, man. So I would say over, but just ever so slightly.
Brooklyn Nets are over 43.5 or under. I have the Celtics winning more games than Brooklyn this year. But I think Brooklyn's going to be good, so I'm going to take Brooklyn to win 44 games and go over 43.5.
I agree. In fact, I think I'm going to PP this one.
Ring that bell, baby.
Yeah, obviously.
I got it. Bell.
Yeah, okay. Joe's going to be the PP.
Bell. Ring ding dong.
Until we kind of figure out how to do it. Yeah. So I think that Brooklyn over 43.5. I didn't like it early on, but man, it feels like Kyrie Irving should be an upgrade on D'Angelo Russell. That team should be better with Kyrie Irving, and they have enough talent around him, especially in the East. I think they're still going to win 45, 46 games. They'll be below the Celtics, but I think they're going to be right there.
Charlotte Hornets, I think, are going to suck. 23.5, though, oh, that's a low number. I think. You know what? I'm going to go under.
It's too low for me to take an under, which is normally when you should take an under. But, man, it's just it's so low, Joe. I can't do it. I can't do it. It's just too low.
It's too low, man. I agree with you. That's why I'm going under. It's just like one of those numbers. It doesn't look right. So let's go.
I agree. It's under nothing for Charlotte.
The Bulls, who we really didn't get into, 32.5 is the win total. It's juiced up high to go over. And if you look at their team, like Otto Porter Jr., Mark Hinnon was really good last year. Wendell Carter, we know about. They got Thaddeus Young now. Kobe White, they drafted Chris Dunn. He's kind of done anyway. Zach LaVine is supposed to, you know, Satoransky is a guy that they have. Like, they have pieces. Denzel Valentine, whatever. Archie, what's his name? The kid from Archie Diaconco, whatever.
Laurie Markkanen, I don't know if you mentioned him or not. But
yeah, I'm going to say over, but I still think they suck.
This one is really tough for me to figure out because it feels like they have a lot of collective talents. Like they should be able to go over this total, but for whatever reason, I still feel like they're an under team. Maybe it's the fact that LaVine is always hurt and it feels like Markkanen's always hurt. I can't do anything with this one, honestly. It's too close.
Cleveland Cavaliers, PP under 24.5 wins. Ding, 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 ding. Apollo Creed. Ding, ding.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, listen, they outside of Kevin Love, they just don't have anything. And listen, I like the Cavs. I think that they're, you know, I want the Cavs to do well. I don't want them to be garbage team. But, I mean, you drafted Darius Garland, who I am not high on Garland.
Me either, man. Me either.
I don't feel good about him. And I mean, you've drafted a couple guards in a row here. Doesn't really feel like the Cavs are going anywhere too quickly. I would be very scared about taking that over. I agree. This is an under. I mean, look, their second best player might be Colin Sexton, who I think sucks. So, yeah, give me the under. I agree with that.
Okay, moving on. Dallas Mavericks, we talked about it. 40.5, it's like the number's right on there. We know what's going to happen in the West, so teams are going to beat up on each other. I'm going to say they win 41 games. I'm going to go over.
I just don't think they have the depth. And my kind of biggest issue was the scoring. I don't know where they're going to get that secondary scoring from. If they can pick someone up at the deadline, I would feel better about it. I'm going to go under. Their secondary scoring to me is a serious concern.
Yeah. I'm just doing it for the hell of it. Literally going over. We got the Denver Nuggets at 52.5. Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Will Barton, Paul Millsap, Jokic, Plumlee, Grant, Michael Porter Jr., hopefully, Malik Beasley. Ball Ball, right? And he's not going to play this year, whatever.
My guy, Ball Ball, yeah.
But, like, the more I watch them, like, they have talent. They're good. I'm going to go over 52.5 wins.
PP under 52.5 wins.
Whoa,
for the Nuggets.
Ding, 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 ding.
Listen, I like the Nuggets. I think they have a lot of talent. But the Nuggets were facing a Western Conference last year that didn't have three teams that might be better than them in terms of talent. The Rockets, the Lakers, and the Clippers are better than them in terms of the talent. So just because of that, I'm going to go under with Denver. I just don't think they're able to win 53 games in the West. 50, 51 games, I can see. Too much for them.
Yikes. We got the Detroit Pistons, who we talked about already without Blake Griffin, 37.5. I'm going to think they're going to start the year slow, and I'm going to go under 37.5.
Yeah, they just have too many injuries. I get it. Like, their win total's basically the same as last year, and they crushed the win total last year. But they're just constantly hurt. I don't obviously know what Blake Griffin's going to give you for long enough. I can't possibly take the over, despite the fact that I really want to, but I just can't do it.
Houston Rockets, win total's at 53.5. Give me the over for a team that's going to Not shock everybody, but it's going to really impress the addition of Russell Westbrook.
PP Rockets over 53.5. Ding, 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 ding. Bell, ding, bell, bell, bell,
ding,
bell, bell,
ding.
Whatever you got. I like the over here again. As we kind of talked about, the Lakers are going to have some load management issues. I would not be shocked if the Clippers do some load management either. The Rockets might end up as the number one seed in the Western Conference last year. They're deep. They have talent. They can score. They have, you know, they have big men who can defend. I like the over there. I like that team.
Indiana Pacers, 46.5. Whew, right on the number. I think they win 47 games. Give me the over.
Yeah, it is right on that number. I'm going to say over two. I think they come within. You know, I think they win like 48 games. I think they're the four seed and Brooklyn is the five seed. I think it's pretty much dead on right there. I would go over. Don't love it. I think that team is actually better built for the playoffs than I do think they are for the regular season.
Memphis Grizzlies, woof. 27.5 win total. God.
I like the under there, Joe, personally. Maybe that's just me. They're not gonna use most of their players. It feels like they're gonna do a big dumping at the deadline. Mm. They'll probably get rid of, Iguodala. Like, it feels like to me that team is absolutely trying to suck. So I'm going to ride the suck train and go under.
Miami Heat under 43.5 PP. I'm going under with them. It's even money. Grab it.
So why do you like the under? Because I actually was thinking about an over for this one just because of Butler. Now, I wasn't going to PP it, but I do think that Butler and that team should be decent.
I just think with all the competition in the East, like they're going to be like, what, a 7-8 seed?
Barely? Yeah, it's kind of hard to predict what they're going to be. You're right. They are very much a mystery team to me in terms of their talent.
That brings up the Milwaukee Bucks at 57.5. Gonna go under. Going under.
Yeah, I think they're an under team too. They're not gonna dominate the West like they did last year. They're not gonna get enough wins against the Western Conference, unfortunately. So I'm gonna go under there, but they'll probably have at least 52-53 wins.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they'll be right at the top. Timberwolves, don't care. Under.
What's their win total?
35.5.
Yeah, it's so tough in the West to even win 40 games. I would say under, but I don't feel great about it.
New York Knicks, 26.5. Give me the over. Give me the over on the Knicks. Taking the over.
Are you PPing that?
Nope.
Okay. I'm gonna disagree. I'm gonna take the under there. I just don't think that they are going to win enough games there. I think they're going to go back in the tank mode later on the season. The Knicks are going to do what the Knicks do, and they're going to suck. So I think they'll go tank mode again later in the season.
Oklahoma City Thunder have a million draft picks. Their win total is 31.5. The over 31.5 is -215 right now. So wow. You can get under 31.5 at +165. You know what? To me, I would do it.
I really, this team is a mystery to me. We don't know what their talent is going to be. Honestly, just have no idea what their talent's going to be. So I would lean under, but man, I don't feel great about it either. I feel like a lot of these win totals are really spot on so far.
Like Orlando Magic. The reason why I'm going to go under is because I feel like the Heat are at 43. If they're at 41, like that's, to me, I'm going to go under. I feel like those two teams may be battling for it at the end of the year. I'm going to go under.
I'm going to go over with Orlando. I think they're going to make the playoffs this year.
They have talent, though, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think they have the talent. I think they'll be able to put it together, at least for stretches this year. You know, they always play well against teams like the Celtics and everything. I would say they're going to go over. But again, not something I feel very confident in. I feel like it's, again, we're kind of talking about a lot of tough places there. So
76ers, Dan, 54.5.
Over. I'm going over.
We're going over.
I think that should be an over team. I think that those two teams are the 76ers have talent. Again, even if they lose a Joel Embiid, they can replace him with Al Horford. Even if they lose Al Horford, they have Joel Embiid and Tobias Harris. They're going over. This team is built for the regular season. Absolutely. Give me the over with the six.
Phoenix Suns. With DeAndre Ayton at 28.5 is the win total. Liked what they did last year. I might take a stab at over 28.5 wins.
Sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Phoenix Suns, 28.5 wins.
Ooh, I took the over and I loved it last year. It's my favorite NBA win total last year. It lost. We ended up still doing pretty well in the win totals. I think it was like 6-2-1 or 4-2-1. I can't remember off the top of my head, but this is my favorite one, and they lost. Man, I want to believe in this team. I do. They have some talent, but I'm going to say under. I'm going to go under.
Portland Trailblazers, 46.5, getting a lot of love, but it's juiced up at the under 46.5 right now.
Yeah, they should win around 50 games, especially versus the Eastern Conference.
I agree. If they're going to compete, they need to win 50 games.
Yeah, they should absolutely win 50 games, especially they should beat up on the Eastern Conference. They should cross the Eastern Conference. I agree. Give me the over there.
Four more games to go here. Sacramento's at 37.5. They're a team that's on the rise. They signed a lot of free agents last year. I can't see them winning 40 games in that conference. I can't see it.
I'm going to go over. I think that they have a chance to be right on the cusp right there, and I would take a gander with them just because I think that they are a really good, young, talented team. And honestly, I think that De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield should be good enough to win you or to beat, you know, the scrubs of the East and even the scrubs of the West. So give me the over.
All right, San Antonio Spurs. Jeez. The mighty have fallen, but yet their win totals at 46.5 going under.
Unfortunately, it's an under there too. It feels like the end of an era, kind of there. Give me the under as well. Unfortunately, I feel bad. I thought about taking the under last year too, but, it feels gross.
All right, last PP for me. Ring, ding, dong. Dr. Dre, keep your heads ringing. Ding, ding, dong. Ding, 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 dong. Utah Jazz under 54.5 wins. Book it. Lock it up. Boom.
Yeah, that total seems to me like the crazy weird one on the board this year. It's just, I like the Jazz a lot, but that is asking a ton. That's asking a lot from a team that is talented. Maybe they find a way. Maybe they just crush the East all year. I don't feel good about it. I agree. I would go under there.
Washington Wizards, 28.5. The under is juiced at -195 at the moment.
Yeah, I would go. I would say give me the under, unfortunately.
I wouldn't pay that juice, though.
Yeah, I don't want to bet it. I'm not going to bet it, but I would lean towards the under, even with Beal. I know Beal is healthy in there. I just don't feel good about that team.
All right, so we got our win totals. We kind of predicted who we liked out of the conference, but if you were to make a pick, who's coming out of the East, who's coming out of the West?
So, all right, I'm going to take the Lakers to come out of the West. I don't think that that's exactly a hot take.
It's +275. It's not the favorite.
Yeah, I guess they're right there, and they probably should be the favorite. It's not exactly a hot take. I'll take the Lakers to come out of the West. I will take the Celtics to come out of the East at +650 or 700. Listen, to me, this is the best value on the board this year. And if you guys listen to the podcast, you know I'm not a homer. I know I always have to say this whenever I say anything pro-Boston, but took the Blues last year in the Stanley Cup. I had the Celtics under last year. I had the Bruins under this year in terms of win points. I just think that they're a better team, and they should be I just think they're a better team than any of the other teams in the Eastern Conference. I'll take the Celtics to win the Eastern Conference. I'll take the Lakers to win the West. And I'll take the Lakers to win it all. I don't think the Celtics are going to, you know, beat a LeBron James, Anthony Davis team. I think the Clippers are going to be right there. I think it's going to be the Lakers or the Clippers. I think one of those teams obviously makes it. Whoever makes the finals from the West is going to win the NBA title this year.
I want to take a stab at the Rockets at plus 350. It's a stab. In the
East. I don't think it's a bad stab, honestly. I think that that's a reasonable expectation, a reasonable play.
In the East, the value is the Celtics plus 700 right now. I can't trust the 76ers. Are you kidding me? And I know the Bucks are good, but like, I don't know.
Honestly, I want to PP the Celtics at plus 650 is the odds I have, so I'll be fair. And
I wish there was somebody else. Like, maybe the Pacers. I don't know. I just wish there was someone else.
I'm not trusting Milwaukee. I think that the script to how to beat Giannis is out there. I think that team has lost some talent. Losing Brogdon is a massive hit for them. And while I really like the Sixers, the depth is a worry to me, and the health is a worry to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that, to me, though, that is the biggest issue with those teams.
All right, how would you bet winning it all?
I would bet that, listen, I'm not taking any team in the East. I think that no matter what team in the East you get going into the finals, they're going to be a dog, right? Mm-hmm, yep. If you get the Celtics in the, you know, in the finals, they're going to be a pretty big dog to the Lakers. You get the Sixers in there, they're still going to be a dog to the Lakers or the Clippers, whoever. The way I would approach betting the NBA finals this year, I would bet the Western Conference teams. You know, whatever it is, I've already taken the Lakers. I got them at plus 400 to win the title. I still like them at plus 350 or 325. I think that those are some good prices. Same thing with the Clippers. I would feel pretty good about laying, you know, a unit or so on the Clippers or anything. And again, it's square. And everyone says, oh, you know, why are you going square, yada, yada, yada. The NBA is a square league. It just is. It's like the MLB in that sense. The MLB and the NBA are very square. So, yeah, I'm going square there. I would say bet the Western Conference teams, and whichever one you have, you can always hedge out. But I would lay some coin on the Lakers and Clippers to win it all.
I'd put 100
square.
I'd put 100 bucks on both, and I would put 50 on the Rockets, and then see what happens.
Yeah, again, it's just that's how I feel, and I feel like you can always hedge out of it in the NBA Finals if you really want to. And again, we crushed the NBA Finals up until the Warriors lost last year. We made a shitload of money, like a shitload of money. So my feeling is we'll probably do the same thing again this year.
Who you got for Rookie of the Year? Zion Williamson's plus 125, but he'll miss time. Ja Morant plus 250. Michael Porter Jr., who's going to be a rookie. What's he at? He's at plus 1600. I like RJ Barrett though. Plus 400. Kid's going to get a bunch of playing time. That's who I like for the Rookie of the Year.
I like John Morant at plus 200, 350, whatever it is. I think that he is going to be, a very good player for the Grizzlies this year. I think he'll actually lead them to some good wins. I think that he's talented. I think that he's going to get a ton of playing time. I think that they're going to try to expose him as much as they can, rotate him, but I think that he's going to play a lot. And because of that, he's my Rookie of the Year choice. Again, not exactly a hot take, but again, I think that he's, the best guy to put my Rookie of the Year candidate. I think he's the best option.
Okay, and who do you got for MVP?
I'm going to go back to the drawing board and be a little bit, you know,
square,
old school here. Right. I'm going LeBron James. I think that LeBron and the Lakers, I think LeBron after last year looked bad. I think LeBron after his comments with China looked bad. I think LeBron is on a little bit of a mission. I would take LeBron at plus 800. That would be the way that I would go. That's my personal opinion.
James Harden.
What's Harden's odds?
I don't have it because the season started and my book just...
Gotcha. No, that's right. I forgot there's games today. But you can take MVP odds and Rookie of the Year odds throughout the season. Like, that's not like a win total that goes away. You know, for the NBA, the win totals go away, you know, pretty much immediately. Some books you can grab them, but very rarely. NBA Finals, conference odds, MVP odds, Rookie of the Year odds, you can get them throughout the entire season. Mm-hmm. So... that's why I agree there.
Remember last year I took the Raptors, I got them plus 900 before the finals.
Yep, you did.
I took them in I had Golden State because we had them in five, if you remember. But that 950 or whatever it was washed out my my loss, my game for them to win in five. Actually, washed out two bets. So,
yeah, unfortunately, I was not as smart as you, and I did not take that bet, so I did not get washed out. But I won a ton of money in the NBA playoffs last year. We crushed pretty much everything that you know that we talked about throughout the playoffs, and so I feel pretty good about saying that we're going to have another successful year in the NBA this year.
Yeah.
And your first quarter over, looking pretty good.
How we got? What do we got? I'm sitting in front of my computer. I got nothing here.
There were, I believe, 57 points in the first quarter.
Whoa!
Yeah, so...
We need more fouls.
Yeah. Well, that's on a 228 pace, right? And then you have to expect some fouls at the end of the game. So it's right there. You know, it's right there.
I like it. All right, anything else for the NBA preview, Dan?
No, I think we've kind of touched it all. I mean, honestly...
And I don't care about Coach of the Year and all that crap.
Yeah, no, we're not going to do that. That's stuff that we can talk about later in the year. But yeah, again, I think the best value on the board this year is take the Celtics to win the East at +650. I do. I think it's the ultimate value this year.
And take only West teams to win it all.
Yes, that would be my advice.
All right, Dan. NBA preview is down. Sorry for the technical glitches. We only had a couple. So I talked over a few of them, but. Hey, we're doing the best we can with what we got. We're not at the studio, so we will have our college football NFL plays later this week. I'm going to the Bob Seger concert, so unfortunately we can't do it on Thursday, Dan.
So it's probably coming out on Friday. Probably do it on Friday. Or probably come out Friday.
Yeah, one or the other. Or either, because we don't want to do it on Wednesdays again, right?
No.
Unless you want us to,
I'm done. I am out.
Out.
Out. Yeah. No. If you guys notice, my worst weeks are Wednesdays because I lose a day to evaluate the game. No. Out on Wednesday podcast.
And nope. Listen, it looked good for a while when we had the magic ball. You know, giving our picks on Wednesdays and they all hit on Sunday. You know, yeah. It only happened for so long. You know.
I'm out. Give me Thursdays or Fridays.
All righty. Well, all your NBA odds are there. The season's underway. It's going to be a great betting season with football. Oh, geez, football. We got the World Series going on right now as well as a ton happening. So, for Dan Lifshatz, I'm Joe Mari. This is the NBA preview of Over Under 985.
Who you got?
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name's Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.